From Racing and Sports, Alex Steedman joins us. How are you, Alex?
Yeah, doing good, Sean. What about you?
Fantastic. Great day of racing on the weekend. I do have to tell you, my heart sort of stopped for a bit, then escalated when I saw Winks at about the 700 on Saturday. I thought, ooh, Houston, we might have a problem. Then she just said, no. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that was the case with you and everyone at the track. Yeah, and everyone watching as well. It was her best run this prep, though. It produced a time form rating of 123+. First horse to claim consecutive George Main Stakes since Kingston Town all the way back in 1981-82. So it sounds like from here she has a little let-up before running in either Sydney or Melbourne prior to the Cox Plate. Happy Clapper in second place. He was superb. Rental time form rating of 124. If he can replicate that in 2 weeks' time, he'll have his Group 1, Sean. The Epsom Handicap currently has a five-year winning average of 122, and he's eclipsed that on Saturday. And he's followed the same path as 2016 Epsom winner Haraki, just down to a T. Resumed by winning the Tramway, as did Haraki, before finishing second to Winks, even beaten by the exact same margin, 1.3 lengths, just uncanny, Sean.
Well, it was interesting. I chatted with Pat Webster, the chin wag, last week, and I said to him, what do you do if you beat Winks? Quick as a flash, he said, have a twoies. And that was it. And halfway up the straight, I thought, geez, Pat, you might be able to knock the froth off one of you. And yeah, it was a terrific run by Happy Clapper.
Yeah, and history bodes very well for him heading toward the Epsom. The weights are released this afternoon, though, which will have a big bearing on, I suppose, how they look at things moving forward. Definitely a few Epsom prospects we saw going around on Saturday.
All right, well, we'll open the bowling, the Highway Handicap, and Greg Ryan, good to see him back in town. Lana Brook, nice ride.
Letton, too good. Rents a time form rating of 79p, which suggests that he has a little bit up his sleeve moving forward. Can't do much more to commence his career than what he has. 3 wins and a second from 4 starts. He's probably one of the few recent Highway Handicap winners who won't be going to the anniversary highway over 1,400 metres next month. He looks a real sprinter at the moment. For now, Clint can drop him back to either the midweeks or provincials. And yeah, next prep over the summer when the shorter Highway Handicaps come back, he might be able to progress through his grades further there, Sean. And runner-up, she knows, honourable mention. I thought she was very good first up, running second.
Now, the shootout mile in, beautifully bred, High Chaparral out of Dashing Eagle. That was just a good front-running ride by Jason Collett and a good effort by the horse.
Yes, second time in as many starts Embley's been able to lead, and hey, sure enough, it's resulted in 2 wins. He's in career best form with that run. That's returned him a time form rating of 105. Bjorn said the Port Macquarie Cup over 2,000 metres in 3 weeks is likely next for Embley. It looked a great race for him. He'd be one of the class runners in that race. That's important too, as usually with these country cups, the weights are heavily compressed. It means those inside the handicap at the top of the weight are noticeably advantaged. Bjorn tends to place his horses beautifully. He's sending a truck out to Bathurst tomorrow. He's happy to travel his horses if he can find a win for them. And Embley with the Port Macquarie Cup could be another case in point, Sean.
The third, the Heritage, I thought Viridine was a nice run, but single bullet, I thought was just got held up for a little bit there in the straight and was a pretty good run.
Yes, yeah, I thought the Quinella were the two to take out of the race. It was interesting. Viridine, he's the one that everybody least suspected to be winning out of the Dolphin runners. Malahat and Marsupial, they each went into the race with some nice form lines. Whereas Viridine, a bit of a question mark over what he had beaten over the winter. He's run to a time form rating of 108. Encouraging about that is James said pre-race he was still perhaps a bit soft in condition, so it will be interesting to see what heights he can get to. And as you mentioned, the runner-up single bullet, he gave Viridine 1.5 kilos. And so he's run to the same time form rating of 108, and that's the same rating that he reached when winning the Pago Stakes. So definitely follow the Quinella out of that Heritage Stakes, I think, Sean.
The Bill Ritchie, interesting to see Michael Walker. He's mad keen to stay on coming through, isn't he?
Yes, interesting race. Definitely from an Epsom point of view, the Quinella of coming through and Tom Melbourne, they're each Epsom bound and look live chances, of course, depending on the weights which are released this afternoon. Coming through, he's run to a time form rating of 110, and that's below his master time form rating of 115. He ran that figure when winning the Carbine Club Stakes last spring. It highlights he has substantial scope for improvement going into the Epsom. four-year-olds, they've got a terrific record in the Epsom. 14 of the last 20 Epsom winners have been four-year-olds. The last horse to win the Bill Ritchie Handicap Epsom Double was Boban in 2013. Sure enough, he was a four-year-old, and even more convenient, he was trained by Chris Waller. Look, runner-up, Tom Melbourne, he gave coming through 4 kilos and was only narrowly beaten in second. He's run to a time form rating of 116. The last six-year-old to win the Epsom was Final Fantasy back in 2001, but fourth up, out to a mile. There's a sense of timing about Tom Melbourne there too, Sean.
Alex Steedman from Racing and Sports. We're up to the T-Rose, and by Gialise, that was a terrific win. It was a great, I'd say it showed track sense the way it worked through the field.
Yeah, it was a great win. Unfortunately, though, a lot of people had dropped off of her. I think she was expected to do more in both the Silver Shadow Stakes and the Furious Stakes. But on Saturday, she showed it was simply a case of being a filly who needed further. She's run to a time form rating of 112, and that's above the five-year winning average of the T-Rose Stakes. There's talk about her running in the Golden Rose. On what she did Saturday, though, she'd have a race like the Flight Stakes in 2 weeks' time, just at her mercy. It's a double that's been achieved 14 times in the past. The Flight Stakes is a weaker Group 1 than the Golden Rose, and she wouldn't have to sort of be backing up. I think I know which way I'd be going. Yeah, it looks perfectly poised for the Flight in 2 weeks, Sean.
Now, the shorts, that was just a ripper race. Red Zell, what a tough, fast horse. And you could have thrown, well, a rug over probably most of them as they hit the line.
This was a fantastic renewal of the short, Sean. The race had six Group 1 performers in it. I don't think we've ever seen a shorts renewal so strong. Red Zell, prominent throughout, classy win. We've got his best career win to date. It returned a time form rating of 124. It's the highest ever winning figure we've seen in the shorts. He passes Terra Vista in 2014 and Moss Rocket back in 1995, who each ran to 122. The strength of this short, it's clearly a byproduct of the Everest in 4 weeks, because four horses in the race, they're all headed that way. Chautauqua, he was beautiful late, looks well on track. On our ratings, he will be the best horse in the race with a master time form rating of 127. He'll have to be on his game though, Sean. There are some up-and-coming sprinters like Red Zell and Minari really breathing down his neck at the moment on what they've done so far this spring. I can't wait for this race in 4 weeks' time, Sean.
Yeah, English, Takedown, Felt Sweep, they're all good runs, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Just an absolutely cranked renewal of the short. I'm really hopeful that this is what we're going to see in this race from year on, from here on. Probably because of the Everest that they're running just in a month's time after that.
Now, the Kingston Town and Chris Waller said, well, I'll just book out the first four stalls here and whack four in them when they come back. He got the first three to fourth.
Libran, he's given Waller his fourth straight Kingston Town Stakes win, letting Waller first four, as you mentioned. And they'll all be headed for the Metrop in 2 weeks' time, a race Chris Waller has won twice in the past. Libran, he's produced a time form rating of 116, which is strong for a Kingston Town Stakes, the highest winning figure since Dress Circle won back in 2002. And, yeah, look, Waller looks to have all his bases covered in the Metrop too. Libran's his firm tracker. Antonio Giuseppe, he's his wet tracker. And Life Less Ordinary should be his lightweight hope. The revamped spring in Sydney with Everest is just brilliant. Instead of losing these nice spring stays to Melbourne after the Metrop, they may stay in Sydney for something like the Craven Plate or the St. Ledger Stakes, $2.5 million races. Everest, it really is a great initiative by those responsible for it, and we're seeing the results of it already before the meeting even has its inaugural running next month, Sean.
Now, what I found interesting was the other day when I spoke to Greg Carpenter, the handicapper, and he released the Caulfield and Melbourne Cup weights, he said, a bit of a wild card in the Melbourne Cup, a horse who loves the 2 mile, he's in well on the weights. Who shot the barman? And it wasn't a bad run on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, incredible. He's getting pretty long in the tooth, but he's still showing that.
No one's told him that.
That's surprising. no, we won't tell him that. You're only as old as you feel, right, Sean?
Yeah. And the thing is, he just loves the 2 mile. But Greg threw him out and said, he's won, don't forget, 2 miles, Flemington, and because of his age, he's able to say he's in well on weight. So it was interesting. Now, the ninth, and this was a good tough win by Iso Rich.
He's unbelievable. He's a 7-year-old with 68 starts under his belt. and he's in career best form. That was the best run of his career on Saturday, and he's netted a time form rating of 101. Certainly not a punter's pal, but you've got to have a soft spot for him, don't you? He's as honest as they come, just a tough on-pace sprinter. And look, some solid runs behind him too. Improvement, Dagny, I thought so. They each look capable of getting connection to win if put in the right races this prep, Sean.
All right. What was the standout from the day, the one to follow?
Plenty of standouts, but moving forward, I don't want to tip your favourite in a race like the Everest or an Epsom or a Metrop. So with the record 4-year-olds have, coming through looks well on track for a race such as that. And I tell you what, Tom Melbourne running second in that race too. He's another option for those wanting a little futures bet for the Epsom in 2 weeks' time, Sean.
All right. He's due for a win, Tom Melbourne. Don't worry about that. All right. Good on you, Alex. Good to catch up. We'll talk to you next week. Alex Steedman, Racing and Sports.